continue our studies in John's Gospel this evening, and we read a selection of verses from chapter 14, verse 15, through to the passage that will be the focus of our study this evening, John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. In these verses, our Lord focuses upon the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the church. We saw last Sunday evening that the Holy Spirit has a very mighty ministry in the world. He has come to convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. But the Spirit has come not only to minister in the world, but also to minister in the church. Now I want you to read a selection of verses from John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Down to verse 25. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said. Chapter 15, verse 26. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. In verse 12 of chapter 16, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. God has given us his word that we might be instructed in the way of truth, and being instructed in God's truth, live our lives to his honour and to his praise and glory. Turn with me in the word of God to the 16th chapter of John's Gospel, and I'd like us together to consider verses 12 through 15. And in these verses you'll notice that our Lord is focusing on the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit as it particularly relates to his church. We saw last Sunday evening in verses 8 through 11 that the Holy Spirit has a particular mission and ministry in the world. And that mission and ministry in the world is to convince and convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That is to say, the Spirit has come to awaken men and women to their lost state before a holy God. He comes to awaken us out of our spiritual slumber. He comes to alert us to the perilous condition in which we stand before a holy and a righteous God. And he does this in order that he might thereby, having awakened us to our need, bring us to Christ, who can meet us in our need, and who can deal with our sin, who can provide us with righteousness, and who can rescue us from judgment to come. The Holy Spirit, through the people of God and the Church of Christ, has a mighty ministry in the world. But the Holy Spirit has another mighty ministry, and that ministry relates not to the world, but to the church. Now, you'll have noticed in our reading, and as we have seen in our studies these past many Sunday evenings, that the Lord Jesus had already told his disciples that as a consequence of his going away, he would send to them another counselor. He describes this other counselor as the Spirit of Truth, who would be their divine indwelling helper. And now our Lord begins to focus more particularly on what the ministry of this other counselor will be as it relates to the people of Christ. He's already touched on that back in chapter 14. You remember at verse 26. But the counsel of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. And so it is the coming of the Holy Spirit that will enable Jesus to teach his disciples the truth that they were as yet at this time unable to bear. Look what our Lord says in this 12th verse. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Because when he comes, he will enable you and equip you to bear what I have to say to you. But before we go on to look more carefully at what the ministry of the Holy Spirit will be in the church, let me simply ask this question. Why were the disciples at this point unable to bear what their Lord had to teach them? I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. Why were they not able to bear what the Lord had to teach them? Well, I think there are two very simple reasons. In the first place, because the cross and the resurrection had not yet taken place. These were still but dimly perceived realities to the disciples. They could scarcely envisage them, far less assess their profound significance. They were yet seeing through a glass darkly. They were yet still in the shadows. Our Lord had much more to say to them. But as yet, that side of the cross, they were unable to bear the weight and the glory of the divine revelation that would burst upon them when the Spirit would come to illumine their minds and to clarify their understanding. But there is, I think, also a second reason why the disciples were unable to bear what the Lord had to say to them. And that was because, as yet, they were still too spiritually immature. They were yet in their spiritual infancy. And we've seen in our studies how at times the disciples frustrated and disappointed the Lord with their slowness to understand. They had not advanced as far as they as they ought to have advanced. They were indeed his people. They had been brought out of their darkness into his light. But as yet, they were still spiritual infants. They were immature. And because of their immaturity, the Lord was not yet able to teach them what he wanted to teach them. I think it's this kind of immaturity that the writer to the Hebrews is speaking about when in chapter 5, verse 11, he says, we have much to say about this. Speaking of Christ and his priesthood, we have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. You see, there is a culpability in spiritual immaturity. By this time, said the writer to the Hebrews, we had hoped that we would have been able to speak to you of these things. But you are slow to learn. I wonder if that's not God's word to some of us here tonight. God is saying to us, by this time, you ought to be much further along the way than you are. By this time, you ought to be digging deeply into my word. And you've hardly got beyond spiritual baby food. We need to give you milk, he says, not solid food. There are few things more frustrating than seeing children failing to advance beyond babyhood. There is something so obviously wrong as they linger in babyhood when they ought to be advancing onwards and upwards. My dear friends, is that not true of us here in this congregation of God's people? We are not where we ought to be. Please God, daily we are coming to his word and saying, Lord, lead me on. None of us have arrived. And if God in his mercy has brought you into his kingdom, if God has brought you out of your darkness into his light, if you are no longer a convicted sinner, but are now by the grace of God a saved sinner, that's you barely begun. Let us press on to maturity. Let it not be said of us that the Lord had much to teach us, but he couldn't because we had not advanced beyond spiritual babyhood. And so our Lord then goes on to inform his disciples just what the ministry of the Holy Spirit would be as it related to them. And there are two things in particular that the Holy Spirit comes to do in relation to the Church of God. He comes, first of all, to guide us into all truth. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Now, by all truth, the Lord clearly means all truth concerning himself. It's not the function of the Holy Spirit to teach us about the mating habits of the South Sea Galapagos turtles. It is the great ministry of the Holy Spirit to teach us the truth concerning him who is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the great absorbing passion of the Holy Spirit is to lead the people of Christ into the truth of Christ. Isn't this what Jesus has already, back in chapter 14, spoken of at verse 26? The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. And so when he speaks here of the Spirit of truth coming and guiding you into all truth, he is clearly speaking here of the truth as it relates to him who is the truth. The Spirit of truth will come, says Jesus, and he will come to open up to you and lead you into all truth regarding my person and my work. He will lead you into all truth regarding the glory of my incarnation. He will come and reveal to you all truth regarding the holy and righteous state of my life. He will come and lead you into all truth regarding the glory of my sin-bearing saving death. He will come to lead you into all truth regarding my glorious resurrection and my ascension to the Father's right hand. He will guide you into all truth. And he will tell you at the end of verse 13, he will tell you what is yet to come. He will introduce you to the great sweep of God's plan of salvation from eternity to eternity. He will come to reveal to you all truth, to complete God's revelation concerning me. the Holy Spirit comes as the Spirit of truth to lead us into all truth regarding Christ. Now this, I think, has two very profound relations. In the first place, our Lord is clearly referring here to the ministry that the Holy Spirit would have regarding his apostles. He is speaking here of the Spirit who will guide the apostles of Christ into all truth. In other words, he is speaking here of the Spirit's ministry of revelation. And it is this ministry of the Holy Spirit, of leading and guiding the disciples into all truth, that guarantees the authenticity and authority of the apostles' writings. Why do we believe the Word of God? Why do we sit under its ministry and submit to its authority? Because it is not the musings of mere men. It is nothing less than the revelation of the Holy Spirit of God. It's this that the Apostle Peter speaks about in his second letter, when he says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit who guided the apostles into all truth. It was the Holy Spirit who preserved them from error as they penned their writings. This, I think, is the great thrust of what our Lord goes on to say. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. Now, Jesus here is echoing words that he applied to himself back in chapter 12 at verse 49. For I did not speak in my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say. You see, the Holy Spirit would guide them into all truth. And in guiding them into all truth, he would not speak on his own. He was not, as it were, operating as a freelancer. He was operating in harmony with the triune God. He would bring to them only what he had heard. What the Lord God announced in heaven, the Spirit reveals on earth. You see, the Scriptures are not the inspired musings of mere men, of even highly gifted spiritual men. The Scriptures are the inspired revelation of God, the Holy Spirit. They are, as Paul puts it to Timothy, theopneustos, they are God-breathed. And John Calvin was absolutely right when he said we owe to Scripture the same reverence that we owe to God, for it has its only origin in him. Is that the reverence you give to Holy Scripture? Do you come to this book and bow before its every word? Because it is nothing less than the Word of the living God. That's the seriousness with which we ought to come to Holy Scripture. As we sit under its ministry, as we read it in our homes and with our families, hear, God the Lord has spoken. And the Spirit has so providentially preserved that word from error. That what we have are not the musings of mere men, but the revelations of the living God. That's the promise that the Lord gives to his disciples. He will guide you into all truth, the truth that you but dimly apprehend. He will guide you into it. But there's a second application here, because the Holy Spirit's ministry is not simply one of revelation. He completed that in his ministry with the apostles. His ministry today is one of illumination. Because just as he guided the apostles into all truth and caused them to pen that truth for us in Holy Scripture, so he comes today to illumine our minds so that we can understand this all truth. Listen to these great words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 2. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no mind has conceived, God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men know the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. How then may we know the thoughts of God? How then may I know what God thinks about me? How may I know what God has to say about this world? How may I, who cannot begin to plumb the mind and heart of God, how may I know the thoughts of God? We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. The man without the Spirit cannot accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. It is the great ministry of the Holy Spirit to so enlighten our minds that when we come to the Word of God, we come to that which, as it were, breaks open before our gaze and introduces us to God himself. As we read his Word, as it were, God reaches out his hand and brings us in and says, come, let me introduce you to my heart and let me reveal to you my mind. You see, the truth that the Holy Spirit led the disciples into is the truth that he leads us today into as he comes to us and brings the light of God to shine into our sin-darkened hearts. You see, the problem with men and women, and perhaps with some of you here tonight, the problem is not that the preaching is heavy and dull, though sometimes it may be so. The problem is not that you're not intellectually able to grasp what you hear or what is being written. The problem is you are without the Spirit of God. You have not the light that comes from heaven. That's why we need to be born again. We need the Spirit to come and take away the heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. We need the Spirit to come and to open our sin-darkened minds so that we can say with the man in John 9, once I was blind, but now I see. Understanding God's Word is not the result of human investigation. It is supremely the result of divine illumination. That's why the psalmist prayed, Lord, open my eyes, that I may behold wonderful things out of your law. Has the Lord been pleased to enlighten your mind and heart concerning the truth? Does the truth now grip your being? That's what the Spirit does. He leads you into the truth. He doesn't simply lead you to apprehend its contours. He doesn't simply lead you to understand a series of doctrines. He leads you into truth, into its heart, into its sweetness, so that you come to love the truth. Is that where you are tonight? Do you love the truth? is the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Occupy for you the place of highest preeminence. Do you love the truth? Is it sweet to your taste? Secondly, we need to hurry on. The Holy Spirit comes not only to lead us into all truth, but he comes supremely to bring glory to Jesus. Verse 14, he will bring glory to me. Here in these brief words, the Lord Jesus encapsulates for us what is the great and ultimate ministry of the Holy Spirit. He will bring glory to me. In all that the Holy Spirit does, he has but one supreme aim, and that is to bring glory to the Savior. This is what James Packer calls the Holy Spirit's floodlight ministry. I'm sure you've been on holiday perhaps, and you've gone at night past one of these great cathedrals, and you've seen it illuminated, the floodlight shining light upon it, and you see the glory of the building displayed in all its magnificence. You don't go away and start talking about the floodlights. You don't say, my, what great wattage there must have been in that to shine such light. You're so taken up with what the floodlight is shining on. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. He is the self-effacing member of the Trinity. He's always saying, forget me, look at him. Forget me, glory in him. For I have come to display his glory and to bring him glory. That's why the most Spirit-filled lives are the most Christ-centered lives. Where the Holy Spirit is most manifest is not where his gifts are most displayed, but where likeness to Jesus is most evident. He will bring glory to me. But how will he bring glory to the Savior? He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. How does he bring glory to the Savior? By reaching into the inexhaustible riches of Christ. And out of the inexhaustible riches of his person and work, he makes that known to men and women who then see how glorious their Savior is. Let me try and liken it to this. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine, out of the inexhaustible, unfathomable treasury which is Christ. The Holy Spirit takes this blessed attribute, and he says, behold you, Jesus. And he takes this blessed attribute, and he says, now consider this about your Jesus. And his great ministry is to so ransack the inexhaustible treasury who is Christ. If you like a master jeweler holding up a diamond and saying with every turn of the facet, see how great he is. He will take from what is mine. And clearly I think the Lord is thinking here about his whole divine human identity as the God-man. The God-man who accomplished for men and women a salvation and an atonement. And he will make it known to you. You see, the Spirit works in harmony with the truth. And I think Donald Carson is so right when he says, nothing brings more glory to our exalted Lord Jesus than for his followers to become steeped in all truth concerning him. He will take from what is mine, and all that belongs to the Father is mine. It is an inexhaustible, it is a limitless, it is an unfathomable treasury. He will take from it. That's what the Spirit's doing in Scripture. On every page of Scripture, if we had eyes to see, he's saying, let me show you here how great your Saviour is. Let me show you the flawless perfections of the everlasting Son, of the incarnate Son, of the sin-bearing Son, of the now exalted Son, of the returning Son. That's the great ministry of the Spirit. Oh, please God, in these days we might return again to this and not be sidetracked into lesser things. Yes, the Spirit does much else besides, but in all that he is doing, this is his aim: to bring glory to the Saviour. Is this how you understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Because, my friends, this is what we are about, however poorly, however feebly, in this church. We are about seeking in all that we are and in all that we do to bring glory to the Son of God. This is our passion and our deepest grief. God knows our hearts, is that we so poorly bring glory to him who is worthy of all glory. Let me ask you then, as we close this evening and come to our Lord's table, is this Lord Jesus Christ to you the all-glorious Lord Jesus Christ? Has the Holy Spirit enlightened you as to the glory of his cross? Can you say with Isaac Watts, when I survey the wondrous cross? Is he to you the all-glorious Son of God? If he is, then nothing is surer than this: that God the Holy Spirit has opened your eyes to see that. I'm sure there are people in this church who daily say to themselves, I wonder why some of these people are the way they are. Well, no doubt many reasons could be given, sin being one of them. But maybe the reason is they are the way they are because God in his mercy has opened their eyes and shown them something of the glory of the Son of God. That's why when we come to the Lord's table, we come to glory in what he has done for us. And our prayer is, Holy Spirit, show me more, that I might live unto him who lived and died and rose again for me. May God help us to see how glorious his Son truly is. And may the Spirit himself illumine our minds. May God grant us to know such grace. Amen.